I think that all orthodontists understand that soft tissue pressures can impact tooth position. Understanding what exactly constitutes or determines the equilibrium zone has been difficult, however. Our body of knowledge in this area hasn't increased much in recent years, but in the June 2011 issue of the European Journal of Orthodontics, a paper was published by Takada and colleagues from Japan that tries to provide us with more evidence. The paper is called Association Between Intraoral Pressure and Molar Position and Inclination in Subjects with Facial Asymmetry. Before I tell you about the results, let me describe how the study was done. First, the authors recruited 12 subjects that had facial asymmetry, meaning the lower midline was deviated at least 4 millimeters to one side of the mid-sagittal plane. In addition, these subjects had a unilateral crossbite on the side to which the mandible was shifted, what the authors called the shifted side. Data was collected from two sources. The first source was a PA cephalogram that was used to determine the position and buccolingual inclination of the lower first molars. The second source was pressure readings from four sensors, the buccal and lingual surfaces of the same lower first molars. These pressure sensors were placed in a thin plastic carrier. The molar position and pressure readings were then compared between the shifted and non-shifted side. Let's move on to the results. The molars on the shifted or crossbite side were more lingually inclined and further from the mid-sagittal plane. This makes sense with what we commonly see. The pressure readings were interesting. The cheek pressure was much higher on the shifted side and the tongue pressure lower. The imbalance of pressures from side to side correlates with the tooth position change. That is, the higher cheek pressure on the shifted side is where the lower molar is tipped lingually. The challenge with these equilibrium studies is that you can't really measure the intraoral pressure without placing something in the mouth that may alter the pressure. In this case, the authors tried to make the plastic carriers thin to minimize any alteration. The other problem is that the variation in pressures is so high that it's very difficult to determine differences. But the fact that the pressure results correlated well to the tooth position data suggests that the authors may be measuring some real pressure differences. Further miniaturization of pressure sensors and better wireless monitoring may make it possible for us to do a better job of measuring pressures in the future and possibly lead to breakthroughs in our understanding. But for now, to learn about intraoral pressure measurement as it exists today, take a look at this article from Japan in the June 2011 issue of the European Journal of Orthodontics.